There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs, and I want to read it to you, Proverbs 15:20. It's not the scripture I'm going to be looking at this morning, but it says here, it says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. You know, today is Mother's Day, and it's the day we set aside to give honor to our mothers. And maybe this morning, not everybody here is a mother, but we've all got one. Or, I say we've all got one. Some of us, our mothers may not be on earth anymore. They're still in, they might be in heaven, but we've still got one. We've still got a mother. And it's a foolish person that doesn't give honor to his or her mother. That's what the Bible says. You know, your mother played, or plays, depending on whether they're still with you, a very vital part in making you who you are today. You know, the Amplified Version says this, a self-confident and foolish man despises his mother and puts her to shame. You know, motherhood was part, or is part, of God's creative plan so that God can reveal his own love to each and every one of us, to mankind. You know, we see in the book of Genesis chapter 3 that God created woman to be able to bear child. She's the only part of the human race that's able to bring forth children. Men cannot do it. Well, men wouldn't be able to cope with it. But a mother has that ability to give birth and give life. And they've been chosen by God to be the vessel through which life is recreated in the earth. So we owe a great deal of honor to our mothers. You know, a mother is part of God's plan for revealing his own love to mankind, to the world. A mother has a great capacity to love even what may be naturally unlovely. I know you've all said when you've seen little babies, and aren't they sweet? And perhaps you've gone away and thought, well, they're the ugliest looking things I've... Only a mother could love a baby like that. Because a mother has a great capacity to love. You know, even when their children get older and they start to go astray and they do things wrong, a mother still has that capacity to love. Even though the things their children are doing may not be lovely, and they may be not so much themselves, but you know, the things are ugly that they're doing, mother still loves and has that great capacity. And that's just like God. That's been put in her by God, that capacity to love. A mother's love is unconditional. Now, there may be some exceptions to earthly mothers, because you know, not every mother treats their children well, and we realize that and appreciate it. But a mother's love is unconditional, generally. And that's the same as God's love for us. God loves us unconditionally. There's no strings attached. And a mother's love looks beyond the faults and sees the best in her children. But one of the roles that God has put upon a mother's heart, and not just mothers, but upon each and every one of us, is that we perpetuate what we know, what we've learned, down to the future generations. And I want to tell you, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I just want to show you that this is in the scriptures. Second Timothy 1 verse 5. Paul writes to a young man, Timothy. And he says that he thanks God for him, because he calls to remembrance, he says, the genuine faith that is in you. He said, it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you also. So that shows the perpetual teaching that the mother has. Lois demonstrated it to her daughter Eunice. Then Eunice passed it on to Timothy, her son. You know, it went down through the generations. And that's nothing new. It's what mothers have done for thousands of years. They've passed, the baby's sitting on the knee, they've passed on the language, they've passed on the history, they've passed on the culture, they've passed on the what we began to know as nursery songs, nursery rhymes. You know, they've been taught. Now you may not remember everything that happened when you was alive, when you was younger, but maybe you will remember the songs your mother taught you. You will remember the things that your mother spoke to you. You know, they teach how to live, the lifestyle that you have. You know, and that's scripture as well, because the Bible says that we should train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Deuteronomy, God gave instructions, not just to the fathers, but to the mothers, to train their children. He says this in Deuteronomy 6. He says, "These words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk quiet by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." You know, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Mom, it's your responsibility under God, and not just mom, but every single one of us, to teach the next generation the way. You know, you've got to train up our young generation in the way they should go. And what we're going to do this morning, because we're going to look at one mother in the Bible who can teach us a lot about how we can train our children and how we can be an example to the next generation that are coming up underneath us. And say, this is not just for moms, but this is for each and every one of us, because we're all responsible under God to perpetuate what we know to the next generation, and then see to it that the generation after that are taught the same things. You know, when the Bible talks about the generations, it talks about your children and your children's children. You have a responsibility for the next two generations, every single one of us. We've got a responsibility to our children and to our children's children, and that's scriptural. So we're going to look at one mother in the Bible. We're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. And we're going to see how this mom, a godly mom, what she can teach her children. Well, five things we're going to look at this morning. And I'll be brief, be quick. In Matthew 20, we're going to start reading the verse 20 and finish at verse 23. Well, we'll finish at 24. So then the mother of Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Amen. Now here we have a reading what first appears to be a mom trying to weasel her two sons into the best positions in the kingdom of God. Now only a mom would do that. You know, she knows what's best for her boys, and she was going to see that they got it. Now this woman, whose name is identified in Mark's Gospel as Salome, the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples. In actual fact, James and John with Peter were amongst the closest three of Jesus' disciples. And Salome comes with this request of Jesus that they sit in the best seats. sit at the right hand or left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. Now that upset the other 10 disciples, and they displeased with it, but I'm not going to look at necessarily what her request was this morning. I want us to see from this passage 5 things that we can learn from this woman in what she taught her children by her practical actions. Now, number one, she knew that to get the best things in life, that Jesus was the one to whom she should come to. And we see that in verse 20 it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him. She came to Jesus. She knew he was the one who was able to grant her request. So she made it a point. She made it her aim for that day to get to Jesus. Now whilst we know and appreciate that Dad is sort of head over the house, he's the spiritual head, if you like, in the household. Mom has an influence that is vital in the household. You know, moms teach us all manner of lessons. But the greatest lesson that mom can teach us, and the greatest lesson that we can teach our children, or we can teach the next generation, is to come to Jesus with their needs, with their concerns, with their cares, and with their desires. In fact, whatever they need, we should teach them that they can approach Jesus. They can come to him and he will hear them. Now, Dad may not always be available to meet the need. Mum may be busy at times preparing and being busy around the house, but Jesus is always there to meet with anyone that comes to him. In fact, like anyone that comes to him, Jesus says, I will not turn away. So one of the vital lessons we can teach the next generation is to come to Jesus. And that's what this woman taught her 2 sons. Now she had a request, she had something to ask, so she brought it to the one she knew would be able to grant that request or be able to answer the need. So she came to Jesus. Then secondly, it says here, it says the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down. You know, children soon pick up and learn the same attitude that their parents have. And this is particularly true concerning mothers. You know, children spend so much more time with their mothers than they do their fathers being out to work or being away from the home. Mothers spend their time with the children. And so they would pick up on the way she approached Jesus. It wasn't just about coming to Jesus. She came in a particular way. The Bible says here that she came kneeling. Now, in other translations, it says that she bowed herself down. Or it says that she came and worshipped. You know, she's taught her 2 boys to show respect to God. She's taught her 2 boys through her practical action of kneeling before Jesus that when we approach God, we should give him honor and worship. And another great lesson we can teach our children is to have respect for the things of God, and particularly have respect for God and for the things of the Lord. That we worship and we honor him in all things. You know, so many young people today have lost. They don't even give any thought to God, yet alone have any respect for him. But if we can show our children that they should come to Jesus, they should approach Jesus with their needs, with their concerns, with their cares and their desires. And when they come, that they come with that attitude of worship. You know, we have done a good thing. She came kneeling down and worshipped. And the Bible says here, she asked something from him. Next we see that she teaches her boys how to ask God, or how to appeal to God. When this woman Salome comes in the right way, she comes in the right attitude, this prompts Jesus to ask her a question. and he says, what do you wish? What is it that you wish? What is it that you're wanting? Yes, she came and she comes to Jesus. She worships you and she says, Jesus, I've got a favour to ask you. And he says, what is it that you wish? Because she presented then her request, which may not have been perhaps the best request. But one thing we can teach our children, and it's another great lesson they can learn, don't forget we're meant to perpetuate this down through the generations, is that God is interested in every facet of our lives. It doesn't matter where we are, what we've done, where we've come from, what we're involved with, God is interested in every facet. You know, she came and she brought this request to Jesus. You know, he is interested in our needs. He's interested in our wants. He's interested in the things that we desire. And he wants us to tell him what is on our heart. Now this was on her heart. She was looking out for her boys. She was wanting her boys to occupy these prime positions in the kingdom of God. And she came and she was honest to Jesus. She didn't wrap it up and try and say, well, you know, it's not really my idea and this has come from Dad. And no, she was totally honest with Jesus. A word that's often used today is that she was transparent. You know, and that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be honest with him. You know, God knows what's on our heart anyway, so there's no good trying to wrap it up and make it out into something that it isn't. You know, if we're feeling rough or we're feeling like we've got a grievance against God, so let's go and let's be honest to him. And let's tell him that, God, we're not happy with this and we're not happy with the way you've done this or the way you... That's honesty. And God will respect that. And God will use that and he will speak to us. You know, if we start to wrap it up, we try and make it out into something that it isn't, or we try and sort of fancy it up a little bit. You know, God will see right through it and he can't really work with it because we're not honest. We're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with him. You know, God wants us to be completely upfront with him. So if we've got a complaint, we go to God with the complaint. We've got a gripe, we go to God with the gripe. You know, when we're thankful, we go to God and we give thanks. You know, God wants us to be upfront and honest. Only then can he speak to us and work in our hearts and move amongst us in a real and mighty way. You know, that's what she does. She comes with this strange request. You know, that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. In his response to this mother, well, I don't actually think he responded to the mother. I think he turned straight to James and John and he says, you don't know what you're asking. And he asked them this question. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with? And they said, we are able. You know, this passage, or the rest of this passage, does not record or does not say anything else that Salome said or did. She suddenly becomes quiet. When Jesus speaks, she's silent. There's no mention that even after the conversation she said thank you to him or acknowledged his response. I wonder if it's the fact that she suddenly became aware of who she was talking to. You know, aware of the question that she was asking God. She suddenly became aware of the cost that would be involved in following Jesus. You know, people often think that they know what it means to follow Jesus. People often think they know what it means to be a Christian. It's only once they become a Christian, they suddenly become aware that it's not exactly what they thought it was going to be. There is a cost to being a Christian. Following Jesus comes at a high price. And one thing this taught her boys, the fact that she was silent, she taught her boys that they need to count the cost. They need to take responsibility for their own actions. And there comes a time when mothers need to teach their young children the same lesson. They can't always be there to pick up the pieces of the mistakes that their youngsters make. And they've got to be responsible for the things they decide and the things they do. So that's a lesson we can teach yet the next generation, to take responsibility. You have to count the cost that in whatever they do, whatever action they take in life, that they count the cost. Finally, we see from this silence of this mum, it shows us one important thing. It shows that she didn't argue with Jesus. She didn't try and discuss what he said or try and debate it and say, but I want this and I want that. And what it did show us, that she accepted what Jesus said. She accepted the truth of his word. Or she accepted what he said as true. You know, moms, or all of us this morning, one of the greatest lessons we can teach our children, or we can teach the next generation, is that they accept God's word as final authority. That this is what God has said, and this is what he will do. It doesn't matter what, necessarily what dad says, or what mum says, or what aunties and uncles say, or what people in the church say. What does God say on the subject? Because once they take God's word as final authority, they are well on their way, you know, to living lives that please God. So here we see these five things from this woman. One, her approach to Jesus. Teaching their children to approach Jesus with every single situation. One, as she comes with an attitude of worship. Teaching her boys to approach God in worship. Next we see her appeal. Her request. She teaches her boys how to ask God. You know, she comes honestly to Jesus. She opens her heart to him. Doesn't try and wrap it up and make it into something else. She suddenly becomes aware that they've got to count the cost and they've got to take responsibility, because that's what it says. Jesus went on to say, says, look, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But who chooses to sit on my left and right is not mine to give. That's for those for whom it is prepared by the Father. And then finally, that she talks them to accept that what Jesus said was true. To take God's word at face value. You know, take it as final authority. You know, mom, this morning, dad, you know, if you've got a great legacy to leave to the future generations, you know, see to it that these lessons are passed on, they're perpetuated, like Lois did to Eunice, and Eunice did to Timothy, like women have done for thousands of years, passing on to their youngsters the culture, the background, the history, the way it's done in the family. You know, you've got a great legacy to leave. See to it that these lessons are passed down to your children, to your children's children. If you train up a child in the way he should go, the scripture promises this, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you would have fulfilled your responsibility as a mother, or as a father, or as any person looking on the next generation. You know, mothers teach us many things, but there's some really important lessons that we can teach. You know, just to wrap it up this morning, you know, I pulled some things off the internet yesterday. Some of the things that mothers teach, you know, these are funny things, but just shows us some of the things we tell our children when they're growing up. See, moms teach us about foresight. They tell us, make sure you've got clean underwear on in case you have an accident. Moms teach us about logic. When they mention to us, and I don't know whether you've said this, I know, I'm sure we have. If you fall out of that tree, don't come running to me if you've broken your neck. Mothers teach us about maturity. If you don't eat your veg, you'll never grow up. Mums teach us about religion. You better pray that mess comes out of the carpet. Mums teach us about the dimensions of time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mums teach us contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mums teach us about perseverance. Well, you're just going to sit there until you eat every last bit of that. They teach us about contortionism. Just look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Mums teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Mums teach us about the weather. It looks like a hurricane swept through your bedroom. Mums teach us about the circle of life. When she says, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Now, one of the greatest tasks of mothers has been and is teaching. So let's make sure we teach important lessons. Teach them to come to Jesus. Teach them to worship Jesus. Teach them that they can ask God for anything. Teach them that they must count the cost and be responsible. And teach them to accept God's word as final truth. Mums have great influence over their children. It's why when you see the telly, you watch these sporting events, watch the football matches, you know, and the football player waves to the camera, you know what he says? He says, hello, Mark. He says, hi, Mark. It might have been Dad that taught him how to play football. It might have been Dad that stood on the pitch side with him week after week. But Mum is the one that he said hello to. Because Mum he looks up to. Mum is the big number in his or her life. So Mum, you've got an awesome responsibility. And all of us. We've all got an awesome responsibility to train up our children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen.